Well, I want to wish all mothers a very happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day is a special day that was set aside in 1914 by Woodrow Wilson. And it was to honor our mothers. And while we do honor motherhood today, let us remember that today is hard on some. There are some who, for reason that only God knows, can't be mothers. There are some who have not had the best mother. Some have had their mothers taken in death. Some mothers have had a child taken in death. And some have a child who is lost to the world, and they're in grief. So even though Mother's Day is a good day and it's set aside for us to honor mothers, just remember, it's not an easy day on some. I'm sure that if you sit here today, you can think of your mother who may have passed, and you have fond memories. Or maybe your mother's still living, and you have not so much memories, but you see in her what we sang about. I saw Jesus in you. Some have memories of mothers sitting by them in church while she tried to keep them quiet. Some have memories of the mother tucking them in at night and making sure they were safe and they would receive a kiss. Some have memories of the meals that the mother would prepare. And they would sit at a table that was full of food, realizing what it took to put that on the table and the labor that went into it. Some have memories of a mother who would come in at night and kneel by the bed and pray for the children and have prayer with them. And some would remember mothers who would always want their children to look right for church. My mother was a stickler for that. She said, it's a special day, and there's something special taking place. It's not the place to come in dirty. You give your best to the Lord. There's a office that's in the IRS. They have a sign out there that says, we have suit and tie because of what's taking place here, the importance of what's taking place here. And some people wonder, why do you wear a suit and tie all the time? Maybe I'm old-fashioned. Maybe I'm of old school. I think you ought to give God the best. And if the best you got is what you got on, good. But sometimes we'll dress up for funerals and not for church. We dress up for weddings, but not for church. I'm not picking on anybody. I just want you to think about it. That's one of those issues that sometime I might get off on, but I'm not going to do it today, okay? Well, some remember their mothers rocking them to sleep and singing. I remember my mother and my grandmother. They'd rock me to sleep. And they'd sing a hymn, put me to sleep. I remember that. Remember my mother would read scriptures that I've shared with you. Times I didn't want her reading scripture. But she did it. She wasn't mad at me. She didn't know. She just did it. Defining of my mother, I've always used 1 Peter 3:4. She had a meek and a quiet spirit. She just had a meek and a quiet spirit about what she did. And she prayed. And she prayed me here. I'm not wrong with grace. She prayed me here for what I'm doing today. From someone that was way on the other side. I stand here before you because of a mother who prayed. And God answered her prayers. Mothering is special. God has given women a special, special responsibility. Well, I thank God for mothers these days who stand strong in the Lord, who love the Lord, who put God first in their life, and their lives are consecrated to the Lord, and they have that desire for their children. And they don't put anything before that. There's nothing that you put before a person who has preeminence. Christ has preeminence. And nothing comes before him. Nothing. We're going to look at a mother this morning. You've seen it many times in Scripture. Hannah. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Who was a godly woman. A godly woman. We meet her in 1 Samuel 1 and 2. Her name is Hannah. Her name means gracious. She was a woman of grace, touched by God's grace. You know, how often do we hear when somebody talks about the mother? And they'll say, my mother was such a good cook. Hear that a lot. I can remember how she cooked this and how she cooked that. My mother was a tremendous cook. Now that's a word of warning to young ladies. Because you're going to marry someone probably that's going to bring up their mother's cooking. And they're going to tell you, well, that's not how mama did it. Well, you better know how mama did it. It would be a wise thing for the bride-to-be during that time of engagement to spend some time with her future mother-in-law in the kitchen. And find out how she fries the chicken. Find out how she cooks the collards. You need to find out, because I'm telling you, it can be a sore point sometimes. Well, that's not the way my mother cooked. I'm not your mother. I can see that. So it's a good idea to lay that foundation. Because we hear it a lot. I always tell couples, you better watch expectations. I tell husbands, I said, future husband, I said, you better watch expectations. You expect your wife to be like your mama, you can forget it. Well, that's a good idea. You heard the joke about the girl that was in the food line somewhere and stole. And she was all over that store. New bride, just been married. She's looking all over the place. And finally a cashier comes up to her and says, ma'am, I've seen you've been running all around this store. Can I help you? What are you looking for? She said, I'm looking for scratch. He said, what? She said, I'm looking for scratch. He said, I don't think we got scratch. I don't know what you're talking about. He said, I'm looking for scratch. My husband said that his mama always cooked from scratch. He said, I'm looking for scratch. Well, you know, she cooked biscuits the old-fashioned way. She made them. She didn't pop the can. You know, everybody's popping the can now. You got about 50 different flavors out there. Pop the can. Well, here's the thing. It's wonderful to have a mother that cooked. I am blessed with a mother that cooked. I didn't expect Jenny to cook that way. Praise God, I didn't expect that. She told me before we even got started, she said, I can't cook like her. So she already put a warning out. Now she can cook, but she'll admit, neither one of us can cook like my mother. I tried one time. I cooked collards for 8 hours one day, and they were still bad because I forgot to put seasoning in them. All I did was put a pot of water up there and threw the collards in. I said, this ain't the way Mama did it, I don't think. Well, it won't. It's good. It's good. You know, somebody says, I remember how my mother cooked. But let me ask you a question. What is better? I remember how my mother loved the Lord. I remember how close my mother was to the Lord. I remember God's grace in her life. I remember when I looked at my mother, I saw Jesus in her as we sang. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. And the greatest thing that can happen to a child is to have a mother who has been touched by the grace of God in her life. Because that mother may be the only obstacle between you and hell. She may be the only obstacle between you and hell. I don't want to be blasphemous or anything. Here I was hearing a sermon a couple of weeks ago by Billy Sunday. He said, you warn people of hell, you warn people of hell, and they laugh at it, think it's a joke. He said, well, then let them go to hell. Pretty strong, but you know what? That's what you do. That's what you do. They've had fair warning. Thank God for mothers. Now, fathers included, today's Mother's Day. Thank God for mothers who give that warning. So here we come to Hannah. Israel is in not good a shape. They are in bad shape. In fact, in the Hebrew Bible, Ruth does not follow Judges. 1 Samuel follows Judges. In the Hebrew Bible, they put Ruth in what they call the writings. However, Ruth did take place during the same time. But in the Hebrew Bible, 1 Samuel comes after Judges. What's the last thing we read in Judges? They did what was right in their own eyes because there was no king. So here's Hannah living during this time that things were not the greatest. The nation was oppressed. And God was raising up deliverers, as we saw in Judges. But Hannah is going to be used of God to be a mother of a prophet who would designate the next king of Israel. So that's where 1 Samuel begins. Now I want us to look at five characteristics this morning of Hannah, who means gracious. She is a woman of grace. She is a woman of grace. In verses 1 through 8, I'm just going to read these this morning. There was a certain man of Ramathaim Sobim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Joram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tahu, the son of Zuth, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of his city yearly to worship and sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered his sacrifices, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters, she had several children, portions of it. Because after they would offer sacrifice, they could take what they had offered and left what they did not leave there for the Lord to sacrifice to them. They could take it themselves. And he gave portions to Peninnah and her children. But to Hannah he gave a worthy or a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Now notice who did that. The Lord. And her adversary provoked her sorely. For to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why do you not eat? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So here we have the story. You know, there are many that think that living a godly life, a life of grace, you don't have any problems. But that's not true. We see that here in Hannah. They're not any different than us. They are people just like us. And we have here that we have her husband by the name of Elkanah. We know his wife was Hannah and Peninnah, the two wives that he had. We are told that one had children, the other did not have children. In those days, to be barren was an affliction. To be barren in those days was not good. That's why in verse 11, she says, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid. That was an affliction to her. Because in those days it was seen that way. Well, verse 3 tells us that Elkanah and his wives went to Shiloh and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord. It was a thanksgiving sacrifice. He took the family to worship. And notice it says something very interesting in verse 3. And the two sons of Eli, who was the high priest, okay, Hophni and Phinehas were there. Now, why did he add that in? It don't matter who was there. Yes, it does. Because when you go to chapter 2, you see how wicked Eli was and his two sons. Now, Eli wasn't as bad as his two sons, but his two sons were wicked. They were the priests. They were the ones who were offering the sacrifice where they went to sacrifices. They went up to Shiloh. So after it's over, Elkanah takes and gives a portion to Peninnah and her children. But he gives that double portion, a worthy portion, to Hannah. Now, we have a kind of a divided family here when you look at what's taking place. And it's divided because Elkanah decided that he was going to marry two women. And so we have polygamy. And that brings a problem. Now that's not God's intent. That's not God's intent. There were many that did practice polygamy, but that was not God's intent. It's likely that he married Hannah. And she could not give him children. So he married Peninnah, who certainly gave him children. But God does not endorse polygamy. He endorses one wife. One wife. And so because of that, there's a strife that breaks out between the two wives. But that was not Hannah's greatest problem. The greatest problem in verses 5 and 6 is that the Lord had shut up her womb. And it tells us the Lord did it. Now, sometimes that's hard for people to understand. When things bad happen, they never say it's the Lord. It's always the devil. But let me tell you something. It don't happen unless the Lord allows it. And God shut her womb up, as that is very clearly stated here. That's it. And in verse 11, she says, look upon the affliction of your handmaid. The problems we have are given to us and allowed by the Lord. But we like to blame other things, don't we? Because God's a God of love, he wouldn't do that. Well, you better read your Bible some more. Job, shall we receive good from the hand of God and not receive evil from the hand of God? Ecclesiastes 7:14 that we've been going through. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider this. God also hath set the one over against the other. God has set the day of adversity over against the day of prosperity in our lives, to the end that man should find nothing after him. So even in the hostility that Peninnah gave toward Hannah, even in that, Hannah showed grace. She was a woman of grace. Notice verse 6. Her adversary provoked her soul. What was she provoking about? It's kind of like a child's thing. I got children, you don't. I got something you don't have. I have been honored by the Lord, you haven't. Her adversary provoked her for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Well, her husband comes. And he tries, as a good husband should. As a good husband should, he tries to console her. So he comes to her in verse 8. Hannah, why do you cry? Why do you cry? Why are you not eating? I'm concerned. Why are you grieving? Be nice to have some husbands like that, by the way. Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? And some wives would say no. One son would be better than you. But Elkanah comes and consoles his wife. Now again, he started this mess with marrying another woman. But he's still trying to console her. He said, look, I'd be better if God gave you 10 sons. I'd be better to you than them. Well, so Hannah has this problem. She's a woman of grace, but she's got problems. That doesn't rid the problems that she has come in life. Then when you go to verses 9 down through verse 11, you see another situation. She's a woman of grace and she prays. She rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. Now Eli's the high priest. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She is broken. She bowed down and said, Lord of hosts, if you would indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She was talking about a Nazarite vow. She said, I will give to you that which you give to me. Here's this woman of grace. She showed her faith in the Lord as she prayed. You know, God sometimes gives us afflictions to get our attention. He puts us in places that are difficult just to get our attention. David said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. So here's Hannah. She has an affliction. Now, isn't it amazing today? It's the opposite almost. Women today that have children, they see them as an affliction. I don't need children because they're ruined by career. So to go out and get an abortion. I don't have time for children. They are a disturbance. They're an affliction to me. To Hannah, it was affliction not to have children. And so she cries out. She makes that vow. And she realized this, that if she's going to have children, it's going to come from the Lord, their gift of the Lord. Do you realize that children are on loan to you? You know, motherhood is a ministry. We were talking about this past week, people that have, like churches or colleges, they're head over in the college, they're presidents of colleges. And they can see that as stewardship or ownership. Do you realize as a mother, as a parent, your responsibility is stewardship, not ownership? It is God who owns your children. They're His. He has given them to you as a gift to rear them for Him, to be a testimony to Him. So Hannah here, she says, "Lord, let me have a child and I will give him back to you because it's only a gift. You just loaned him to me. Give me a child." And she prays, not out loud now. Notice, she prays from her heart, but she don't pray out loud. She's whispering. And Eli, he comes and he says, "Are you drunk?" He sees her mouthing, but he don't hear anything. He thinks she's drunk. Now this is Eli, who ought to know better. He ought to know better. And in verse 14, Eli said, "How long are you going to keep drinking? Put away the wine from thee." Isn't that something? Well, in verse 18, I like, she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad than notice something. Before, she won't eat. Before, she was grieving. She prayed to God and things changed. Prayer changes you. When we pray, it changes you. She said, when she left, she went and ate. She's ready to eat because why? She put it in God's hands. She put it in God's hands, her affliction. It's in your hands, Lord. Do as you please to your handmaid. Well, David said to his soul, he's talking to his soul, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." A woman of grace has problems, she knows where to turn. Turns to the Lord. Woman of grace experiences God's provision. Notice verse 19 and 20. They rose up in the morning early. They went worship before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife. And the Lord remembered her. Remember her prayer. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived and she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." Samuel means heard of God. Heard of God. So every time she calls Samuel's name, she remembers God heard her. Every time she calls his name, she's reminded that God heard her prayers. Heard of God. So again, her prayers are answered. So she has this child. And she gives birth to Samuel. Children are the gift. Children are the gift. With all her prayer and all her weight. And by the way, in verse 12 it says, it came to pass as she continued praying. It wasn't a popcorn prayer. You know, I have a lot of popcorn prayer. I'm going to be picky. I don't like that hymn, "Whisper a Little Prayer in the Morning." That's a popcorn prayer to me. Okay? If you're driving, do it, but don't whisper it in the morning when you got time to pray a prayer. Okay? It's like a little prayer in the morning. She prayed continually. Continually. She didn't stop. She kept praying. She kept going. Women of grace keep their promise. Verse 21. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer the Lord yearly sacrifice and his vow. Hannah went not up. Now notice this. She didn't go up. But she said unto her husband, "I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever." And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what you think is best. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and they brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. Now she's talking to Eli. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, shall he be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. So she kept her promises. This is about 3 years, 2 to 3 years of age when she would have took him. She made a promise to God, and she wasn't going to go back on it. Now, the word lent is granted. It's the Hebrew word for granted. Hannah began early teaching her children. She began early teaching them. Deuteronomy 6:6-7, and she took this seriously, and I've used this a lot with parents and all, because this is so important. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou lie down, and when thou risest up. In other words, what is he saying? Through the course of an entire day, use every opportunity to teach your children the things of God. There are things that come up during the day that are wonderful object lessons. Keep the Lord before them. Keep the Lord before them. That's the idea. Now, she had dedicated this child to the Lord. She had given him to the Lord. And it is one thing to say our children are dedicated to the Lord. It is quite another thing to give them to the Lord. You know, we have churches that have children dedication. That is not the same as giving them to the Lord. Because usually it doesn't happen. When you dedicate a child, you give that child. It is the Lord's. It is loaned to you, that child, to rear and to nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then in chapter 2, and we won't read this, but you can read her response to this. And her response is one of praise. She praises God for what he's done, for the child that he has given to her. And here's the thing. You read those verses, those first 11, you know what she brags about? She don't brag about the child. She don't brag about the child. She brags about the God who gave her the child. She don't praise the child. Now, she loved the child, no doubt, but her praise was to God. Because he gave her the child. And she praises God. Hannah, an example of a gracious woman, but even more, a gracious mother. A gracious mother. She is afflicted for years, and yet she worships the Lord, knowing how painful it is to be in a situation that she was in and around others, but she worshiped the Lord. She prays and leaves it in the hands of the Lord, and he answers her prayer, and she explodes in praise. That's Hannah. Thank God for godly mothers. Thank God for godly mothers. Thank God for mothers who don't see their children as an affliction. You're bothersome. You're a pain. Think about those who don't have children. That would love to have children. I remember, and you, those of you who've been here a while, I've told you this before, kind of the same principle. Sam Terry, y'all know him. He's with the Lord now. He came to my office, rode his bicycle, came to my office and sat down. And we just talked. And he said, "Preacher, I got a question to ask you." Now Sam, you know, some people didn't think he's smart. Sam was smart. Sam read a lot, and he could remember what he read. He'd come in and get a book. He'd take it home and read it. He'd come in about a week later, said, "Okay, I finished this one." I said, "What it about?" He'd tell me. He could do that. He came in one day, sat in there, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "why has God not given me a wife?" Well, that'll hit you like a ton of brick. And he said, "You know, I see husbands out here treat their wife like dirt." He said, "I wouldn't ever do that." He said, "Yet God has allowed them to have a wife. Not me." You know, sometimes we ask ourselves, why mothers ask, or women ask, why did God not allow me to have children, when I see mothers out here, they could care less for their children, it seems like. They're in their way. They treat them like dirt. And yet there are those who would love to have children. I don't see Hannah. I don't see a woman of grace doing that. I don't. I don't see that. Hannah did not learn what she did from the religious establishment of that day. She didn't learn it from that. Remember, Eli's the priest. He didn't even recognize the fact that she was praying. He thought she was drunk. Accused her of drinking. And then you have his sons worse than that. These are the ones that ministered at the temple. Eli and Hophnias, they come in there. And they are using it for their own gain, for their own pleasures. She didn't learn anything from the religious establishment. And Eli, how did he deal? If he'd have dealt with his sons a little bit like he dealt with Hannah, things would be different. He was so passive in his dealing with his son, nothing happened. God killed him. God killed him on the spot right there. Strange fire, the offer. No, Hannah was one woman in a thousand in Israel that day. One woman in a thousand. Yet because of the mother she was, the nation of Israel was going to be blessed by her child. Because of what she did. She was a mother of grace. And all of Israel would be blessed because of that child. The nation of Israel benefited from her child Samuel. And you know, Samuel is on the pages of Scripture when David is coming along and the king, and all of a sudden Samuel's gone. But look what he did for Israel. And Israel benefited from Samuel's birth because Samuel benefited from his mother teaching. And that's why. So congratulations to mothers. Tremendous responsibility. Tremendous responsibility of rearing children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's stand. We've got gifts for the mothers, and we'll be dismissed.